for that special. We are in 1 Peter, and I had an illustration. I knew we were going to be talking about a stumbling block, stepping stone, cornerstone, and I thought, I need somebody that has stones and rocks. And so I thought about it for about 2 seconds, and I knew I'd call on the Hefner. So I got a Hefner rock up here. And I wanted to put it right for you guys to stumble in, but I didn't want a lawsuit. So just let's all pretend that you all had to walk around it in there, and we can laugh about it later. Remember that time you put the stone in our way? We can pretend that that happened. But this morning I want to talk to us about the divisiveness that is the person, Jesus Christ. Before we get into that, though, and into the text, I was thinking about just our culture in general. We live in a culture that we really can't agree on anything. If we were to say, let's find some things that we agree on, we would have a really hard time. I think that pizza is the best food there is, and I realize that there might be a few people that agree with me, but many of you would disagree and say, no, it's not. I'd rather have like sushi or something, and I think sushi is disgusting. And so we wouldn't be able to agree on any of those things. Even if we did all agree on pizza being the best pizza, we would disagree about where you should go and get your pizza. I would say you drive all the way up to Lansing and you go to DeLuca's and you get yourself a large deep dish pizza with, and you can get the BLT, and it's the best pizza you'll ever have. But you probably have your place where you're like, no, 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 Jordan, you're wrong. I know where the best pizza is. You got to go up to Chicago, blah, blah, blah. And then I lose you because it's not DeLuca's. But we can't even agree on that. And so I thought, I surveyed some kids at the high school. I was subbing, and I asked them, you know, what are some things that we disagree on? And we talked about all kinds of stuff. And, of course, they brought up politics. And they said, I said, is there anything that we can agree on? And they said, well, that the earth is round. And I said, no, we can't even agree that the earth is round. We have, you know, the flat earthers. I don't know if any of you are out there. But anyways, we can't even agree that the earth is round. How are we going to agree on anything? And the heart of this text in 1 Peter 2 is that Jesus is something that people can't agree on. That he is fundamentally the most divisive person ever to walk the earth. And that's not normally the way we talk about Jesus. We talk about friendly Jesus, he died on the cross for you. But there was something that was offensive, there was something that was divisive and disagreeable about Jesus. And the way that the New Testament picks it up, and the way that Peter talks about Jesus is he's a stumbling block. And there's a rich history in the Old Testament about the cornerstone and building the temple. And Peter's going to quote several different places in the Old Testament. But the point of it all is that Jesus is a stumbling block. And I want to talk to us this morning about how Jesus is a stumbling block for many, but for us, he is the foundation of our life. Let's look at our text this morning. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The heart of what Peter is saying is that when Jesus lived and was among us as a person, walking among the Israelites and the Pharisees, they looked at Jesus and they said, there's something off about this guy, and we're not quite sure who he is. And so when it came to the life and way and truth that Jesus was sharing, they looked at him and Jesus was a stumbling block. And the biggest stumbling block for them was the fact that this Messiah, the long-awaited hope and hero that they were waiting for, he did something that no one expected. And this was the last thing on their mind. And they thought, there's no way that the guy we've been waiting for, who's going to fix all of our problems, the guy who's going to make his place in the temple, and he's going to establish the throne, and everything's going to be great once he comes. Jesus became a stumbling block when this happened. Where they're like, there's no way that this is the guy we've been waiting for. Do you know what it is? It's the cross. The cross is this stumbling block. We've been waiting for a hero, and what does he end up doing? He dies. When you write a story, this isn't how you write the story. This guy, he comes healing, and he's helping, and he's this awesome teacher, and people are coming and following him, and God's going to make everything right, and he's using this guy, and oh, he died. I thought he was supposed to get his throne. I thought he was supposed to set the world right. I'm still dealing with all this tension. And so the stumbling block for so many people, not just Jesus' teaching, but the greatest stumbling block, the thing that people kept tripping over, over and over and over again, was the cross. And the cross doesn't make sense until 3 days later and Jesus is risen from the dead. And then it's like light bulbs start going off and people start realizing that this stone that they have been sort of like, we're not sure what to do with this. The whole point of our text this morning is that everyone looked at Jesus as a stumbling block. And it's like, it's just a stone that's in the way. They weren't sure what to do with it. They were building their house, and it's like, what do we have this oddly shaped thing. We don't know what to do with it. And what Peter says, the stone that the builders rejected actually became the cornerstone, the thing that everything else hinges upon. And the point of this morning's text is so simple but so hard for us. And it's saying Jesus needs to stop being the stumbling block in your life and he needs to become the foundation. That he needs to be the one that we center our lives on, the one that we build our life from. That though the world has rejected him, though the world looked at him as a stumbling block, though it couldn't wrap their minds around who this person Jesus was, the world rejected him, but we need to make him our foundation. You know, I thought about what are some ways that we find Jesus to be a stumbling block. And the passage in John 14 where Jesus, he's comforting his disciples and he's saying, I'm going to the Father and you guys know the way too. And they're like, well, wait a second, we don't know the way. He's like, if you know me, then you know the way. Because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And what I have found in my life is that when you talk with people about who Jesus is, they stumble on three things. Jesus being the way, Jesus being the truth, and Jesus being the life. They stumble with, is Jesus' way truly the best way to live? As a Christian, I think we have a sort of tension with following Jesus. Is Jesus' way the best way to live our lives? Is it really the best way to live our life by loving our neighbor and praying for those who persecute us? Is it really the best way to live our life by becoming servants and not finding ourselves in or humbling ourselves in and caring for people? Like, is that really truly the best way to live? Or am I supposed to look out for myself? Shouldn't that be the way we live? We see people stumbling with Jesus being the truth. Did Jesus really exist? Was Jesus really true? Did what he say, was it the truth? Is it, do they struggle with they struggle with this identity as him being the true Son of God. We struggle with his life. Did he really walk on water? And perhaps most importantly, people stumble over the resurrection. Did he really come back to life? Is he really truly seated at the right hand of God right now? And so these become a stumbling block. But Jesus is saying to us, and now Peter is picking up the message, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And while we might find so many things disagreeable in our world, we might argue over the best way to care for our nation, we might argue over what is the best color even, all the things we disagree over. But the world is divided on one thing: who you say Jesus Christ is, and how you build your life on him, or you stumble over him and around him. And so this morning's message to all of us is, what will you build your life on? Will it be Christ, or will you continue to stumble around him and wrestle with who this person is? Does he meet the expectations that you have for a Savior? Is he the one that can truly help you and deliver you from your sins? And that's a question you have to answer for yourself. You can listen to me. I'll tell you what I think the right answer is. But you have to decide, are you going to keep stumbling over who Jesus Christ is and his identity? Are you going to keep questioning his way? Is there another way to salvation? Is there another person that's going to come and do this for you? Is he really true? Is he really truly the one who gives life and breathes life into you? Do you have new life in Jesus Christ? For those, if I were in a more responsive church, you'd be like, oh yeah, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I know we're all introspective, thinking so thoughtfully. That's what is going on. You're meditating. That's what those eyes glazed over were. No, Jesus is the foundation of your life. And how, and when you do that, Peter says something about your identity. And I want you to get this. He says you're a chosen people, that you're God's special possession, that you're this royal priesthood, that this is your identity wrapped up. When you make Jesus the cornerstone of your life, there is something unique about you. Once you weren't a people, but now you're a people. Once you haven't received mercy, but now you have the mercy of God. This is your identity. There is something special about who you are when your life is built on Jesus Christ. When you make him your foundation, it makes you into the people of God, God's special possession. And all of those statements are just totally loaded with so many things in Israel's history and story. But the heart of it is this. The heart of it is that you are now representatives of God, and you are a beacon of light and hope. When it says that we're God's special possession, when he says that we're a royal priesthood, you know whose job it was to bring and draw people closer to God? It was the priests. And it's your job now. It's ours to be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. And all we have to do right now, and it just seems like our world is hurting, and our world needs light. Our world needs hope, and people need to know that that life and joy and happiness doesn't consist in the abundance of their possessions. It can all be taken away, and it will all be taken away. In the face of this tragedy, in the face of the storm, in the face of all of this, what we all need in the midst of the darkness is light and the beacon of hope. And what Jesus is teaching us, and what Peter takes on also, is to say that if we would build our lives on him, there's something special and unique about who you are. You are now the people of God. You have been shown mercy. And it's your job to be a beacon of light and hope in this world. That you would be ones who point to all the goodness that God has done. And I think that we're going to need to have that message. I think we're going to have the message on our lips over and over again of the goodness that God has done for us through the cross of Christ. And so it all comes back to, for me, who do you say Jesus is? Is he the foundation of your life, or is he a stumbling block? And you know what? It's okay if you're stumbling over it. It means that you need to figure some things out. But today I would ask, real gut check time. What is your relationship with Christ? Do you believe him to be the way? Do you believe him to be the truth? Do you believe Jesus Christ to be the way to eternal life? Is he your Savior, your Lord, and the one that you build your life upon? And the way you respond to that is realizing your very special identity to be God's special possession, a royal priesthood, God's holy nation, invited into the story of God to be a beacon of light and hope. Would you believe that about yourself? I think sometimes we get discouraged and we forget who we are. Would you believe that to be true about your identity and who you are in Christ Jesus? That you are a special possession of God's. You've been shown mercy. Now let's extend that mercy and love and kindness to everyone. I need to invite you to be a part of our church family if you're not. Because what we're trying to do here and what my heartbeat is that we would build our church on the cornerstone of Christ. If you are a baptized believer in Christ, you just need to say, hey, Jordan, I want to be a part of this. If you aren't baptized, we would like to baptize you in the church, our church family, and into the church family as a whole for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to build your life together with us, I invite us all to remember where our foundation is. The foundation is Christ Jesus, our Lord and our King. And we'd love for all of us to kind of renew our commitment together and remember who we believe Jesus Christ to be. As we go into our week, as we go about our lives, it's so easy to get caught up in all of the everything going on. I hope today's message is a reminder that you are God's special possession. Your life is built in Christ. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for this day. And ask God that you would lead us and help us to trust in you, trust in Christ to be the foundation of our life, that we would build and we build our life upon him. I thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for the time together to worship and celebrate you. Again, we lift before you so many that are being affected by severe storms and weather and hurricanes. Lord, we pray for a blessing on your church, that it would shine brightly now in this part of your world and all throughout. We love you, God, and we thank you for Christ Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand in response?